Well, with 1 week to Maker Faire, we're in the end game now. I'm Sean.
I'm Josh.
I'm Donovan.
And I'm Wes.
And you're listening to the Making Geeks Podcast, a podcast for makers, dads, and geeks. We are on episode 144. So, guys, feels like it's been a while.
It has.
3 years, hadn't missed an episode, and then the last two or last 4 weeks, I've missed three. So
you're a busy man.
I'm slipping. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I don't even know what day it is. Some days right now, I've been losing track. It gets more chaotic as it gets closer to the end of the school year now, and which seems counterintuitive, but things just keep on getting piled on.
So the kids slack off more and the teachers work more, huh?
It's turned out to be that way this year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, here in Oklahoma, they've got 6 more days of school, I think.
We have roughly 3. No. We have 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, not Monday, but a week from Monday will be the last day of school for the kids.
Hmm.
Is that good or bad thing?
I don't know. I'm unemployed, so I'm on whatever schedule they are.
Well, I meant more along the lines of, you know, if you have them out of the house for a couple of days or a couple hours every day, that gives you some more uninterrupted time as opposed to, you know, just
summer. That's true. It's going to be interesting to see what the dynamics is going to be like once, you know, once they're here all day.
That's why I was asking. Yep.
Seems kind of early compared to what I would expect. Is it because it's more like an agrarian kind of community out in the Midwest, you think? Like traditionally?
No, we don't have a budget, education budget, to do it any more than this. So
never mind.
We have late start Wednesdays and end of school is a week from Monday. So
interesting.
Well, I've been working from home the last week, and my kids are homeschooled, so they're here all the time. So it's a little different. And now I have like this secret lair downstairs, and I've had to use it. I'm like, I have to go downstairs and work. Please stop banging on the door.
Have they figured out how to get in yet?
Nope. That is so cool. Many people in the comments of the secret room were like, builds a secret room and then tells all of YouTube how to get in there. I'm like, yep, yeah, okay, sure. You don't know where I live, and the people who live here and see it every day still have no idea how to get in there.
That's fantastic, though. Congratulations, by the way. Last time I looked, it was like 1.4 million.
Yeah, it's doing really well.
It'd almost
That's
be fun.
Understatement, but yeah.
It'd almost be fun if there was like a fake secret room, like the kids will figure out one room and it's not the real room, like a complete, you know.
Mystery.
Well, I have to look over my shoulder, like when I walk in here. Just make sure they're not like peeking around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So they're schemers.
You could probably change that switch really easily, though, once they figure it out. Just wire up something else.
Yeah, and it's on an ESP module, which is Wi-Fi enabled. So if we wanted to, we could connect it to an Alexa or an app, like, nice. So where I wouldn't have to touch anything.
And where's the fun in that?
Yeah, I know. And that's a lot of people are like, you should have just done this with your phone. I'm like, you realize how many more steps I would have had to take to pull my phone.
Use a regular
out.
Lock in a door.
It's still cool, though. Little, tick, tick, you know.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking, because it's cool. And there's a million ways to do it. And people tried to tell me or tell us, like, all of the different ways that we could have or should have done it. I'm like, uh-huh, wonderful. This way is dope. Yeah.
You do your way and post a video. I'll watch it.
The mechanical aspects of what made it cool.
I wanted there to be a thing that you couldn't tell was there that you had to activate, like the Batman head, but my wife didn't want a bust on the shelf. It was the same thing I did for that RetroPie arcade. Like, she didn't want a giant arcade in the house, so I had to hide it in something that she thought was cute. So she didn't want a big, goofy bust to be able to get in there, so I had to make something cute.
And it works.
It totally works. It's not a death trap. Many people said it was a death trap.
Yeah.
I'm like, so then every other room in your house would be a death trap. You're like, it doesn't have a window. I'm like, okay, well then don't ever walk in your closet because your closet is a death trap. Your bathroom is a death trap.
It's pretty easy to kick through drywall if you have to also.
But the door defaults to open, and the door is wide open right now. People like to hyperbolize things, and it's really funny how they'll just like, I'm going to pick a random thing and use the most like expletive kind of language, not vulgar, but like, you're going to murder and die in flames and death. And I'm like, why would you highlight? Like, why would you go that far unnecessarily?
Okay. Hey, look who joined the chat. Mr. Peter Brown, what's up, man?
Hey, we're just talking, mate.
He says, just coming in. Josh is making a death trap.
Yep. I made a death trap. I'm currently dead right now in my death trap.
You know, it's so nice to know that complete strangers are so concerned with your well-being.
There were a lot of people that I think seemed concerned in a very angry, sarcastic way.
Yeah.
They're like, whenever you're unconscious on the floor, the firemen aren't going to be able to find you. I'm like, wow, a lot of things had to happen for that scenario to line up. Like,
you can ask for their number so you can text them if you had an emergency.
Well, I think it's funny that my next door neighbor is a fireman.
Yeah.
And like, I'm in the basement and there's windows right on the other side of this wall, which I think people are confused because there's another doorway that leads into a utility closet. And I think that they think that's the way in or whatever. But I was like, so I'm in this scenario. I'm unconscious in here. I'm by myself. The fire department somehow knows about it. Comes to my house and then can't find me. I'm like, man, that's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of holes in that cheese that need to line up for this random stupid scenario. But yeah, my neighbor is a fireman and he's like, what are you doing in there? And I showed him. He's like, this is awesome.
In one site of fire code, huh?
No, and I don't get it. I'm working in a closet. Yeah. This is pretty much what this is. So if I spontaneously come up, you guys have to call where I live,
mm-hmm.
talk to the fire department,
okay,
send them a link to the video,
right,
so that they can watch it on their phone in my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just doing that so it could go viral. We could make some money off of this finally.
Not that they could walk through the doorway that's wide open. They wouldn't understand.
But anyway, they fit the stretcher in through there. I mean, come on.
I don't know. Guess I'm just going to die. This week, we're going to make a tombstone.
So other than secret rooms and arcade machines, you guys been up to anything else this week?
Well, I got my Donkey Kong-inspired garage storage shelves done.
Looks pretty cool.
Which I am super happy about. They were annoyingly frustrating. All the stenciling and the failing at stenciling and the having to redo so many things. But it's finally done. I got stuff on the shelves. My garage is a lot more open. There's still stuff that I need to organize. But yesterday I pulled all of my footage into Premiere to edit the video because I thought, oh, I'll try and get it out today. And I found out that I have an entire day's worth of work that is footage that is just, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Are you going to cut around it?
Yeah, I'm going to have this little Monty Python intermission. Like, uh-oh, you lost all your footage. Or something like that. Something comparable to that. Because the first thing I did was to take everything out of the garage and then to paint it. And so all of the work that I did from the point that I painted the trim up until I started putting up the upper rafters is gone. Like the footage just, I don't know, it's just gone. And so I'm going to have to find a clever way to try and be like, hey, so there's all this stuff that should be in there, but it's not. So I'm going to work on that tonight after our podcast, maybe hopefully get it out by tomorrow. I don't know. I say I'm going to put a video out. Hey, I'm going to put a video out on this day. And then it doesn't happen. But I also need to go and find, I'm trying to find like every blog and every, you know, home organization website, whatever that I can to make my list of people that I'm going to blast email out my content to see, you know, see if anything can get shared. So
I have a recommendation for you that about that I'll tell you at a later time based on some info I got at VidCon from like a year or two ago.
Okay.
It's similar to the process you're already using with a small little twist, But I'll talk to you about that separately later.
Okay. And then the other thing that I'm working on, Josh is the only one that figured out what this is. My son loves Ninjago and wanted me to make him a Ninjago sword. So we are doing the Golden Dragon Ninjago sword that I started carving today while watching Bobby Duke videos. So this will be my next video after my garage storage video.
It's a nice looking piece of wood.
Yeah, it's just a 2x4 wood. It's my wood. Do you like my wood? Yeah.
It's dirty.
Yeah. So that's what I've been up to.
Nice.
Wes, how about you?
More 3D printing. Lots of 3D printing still. The same order. This is going to be a rotating story for a while. We had a couple laser engraved cups I've been doing for some people that order them for Mother's Day, so that's nice to change things up. And that's really about it. Not terribly exciting. Just plugging along on my order of 200 pieces.
Is your battery RAM thing still working?
The battery RAM is still working. I've upgraded my system a little bit. With it, since I started this project, power has flickered 3 times. And it never did that before. What a nice coincidence.
Power in the house or just power?
Yeah, the entire house power. It's like something's been happening in town. I don't know. Like one time there was a car accident or something hit like a transformer station. Who knows? Right.
Now so Mark II doesn't have power recovery either.
It does not. So I ordered a UPS, like a $70 one, just to, you know, iron out the little bumps and brownouts and stuff. So hopefully that takes care of that, because I lost about $60 worth of prints with those three, because each print's $20. So see what happens.
I hated that when we were in the RV. Like power was is such a premium, and I would be printing something or I'd be cutting something on the X-Carve, and the way that it was, like my workshop was underneath our bed in the back of the RV, and I could hear my wife turn on her hair dryer, and just everything would shut down and die. Like there went the carve, there went a print, and she automatically, I'd go, I'm sorry. I'd hear her yelling, I'm sorry, did I ruin it all? I'm like, God, I hate this thing.
And now you got your own secret room, so you've upgraded.
Yeah, and I got to use our laser cutter today. I was at Bob's taking care of some video stuff while he's out. And Joel Telling made a filament shelf kind of thing. I mean, he did it with 3D printing a bracket. So I designed a bracket, and I tried to print it, and it was taking forever, and it started to warp. And so I was like, man, forget this. I've got laser beams. And so I just stacked up a bunch of pieces of plywood, cut them, and glued them together. And I made a Joel Telling-esque looking filament rack back there.
That's pretty cool.
It totally worked. It was super quick.
You should be super happy about your access to a laser cutter, because I've been at FabLab this week, literally waiting in line for hours and hours just to try and use a laser cutter.
Is it the popular time of year? Around Mother's Day, where people just want to make little trinkets and stuff? Or
no, it's just, it's Fab Lab, I mean, at least here, is just becoming more and more popular. And they have 2 laser cutters, one that you can book out and one that is a first come, first serve kind of thing. The one that you can reserve, I think, is booked out for like a month and a half, 2 months. Like every hour, every slot of every hour for every day is totally booked out. And so for people that didn't book out 2 months in advance, you have to go and literally just stand in line waiting for access to the laser cutter.
That sounds like demand. That not that you could like pull up a cart, like a food truck outside with a laser, but like buy one and then just do the same thing in an overflow capacity and have them pay off your machine.
Yeah. Every time I'm like, please, please get another laser cutter. Please. I mean, it's a Epilogue, you know, 40-watt, $30,000 laser cutter. So I'm sure they're not going to just, oh, yeah, we need to go get an.
How,
but, man.
How big are the pieces you're lasering?
I got an order for some arcade coin banks and an order for another Vault Boy Slurm sign.
Hey-o.
And so I've been lasering those, the coin banks and outlines for that. So that's, they're 12 by 24 is the pieces that I cut.
Hmm.
I mean, the boards, not the pieces, but, you know, the right. boards that I put in.
What's the diameter of that Slurm sign?
It's 2 foot by 2 foot. But the largest element, I think, is like 6 inches by 6 inches.
Okay.
Hmm.
I mean, individually, they're not too big, but, you know, you right. put them together and you got yourself a Slurm sign. But I've been working on those, too, because I got an order for them. So, yay.
That's awesome.
Kind of a job.
Is that price worth your time?
I don't want to say how much I charged for.
No, I don't know. One, but is it
because
worth it?
Apparently I really under my wife is like, you should have charged way more.
$50, at least $50 yeah. bucks.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out the whole pricing game.
Your base price should be $80.
Okay. I mean, even for the coin banks,
there's a throwback.
Making coin banks is 15, and then I dropped it down to 5, and then I bumped it up to 20. So I'm all over the place. I don't know.
Yeah, that $80 is for our longtime dedicated listeners. $80 for everything. So we decided on a topic. We had three that we were tossing around.
Well, the title of our video kind of tells all.
Yep.
Go
ahead, Wes.
I changed the title on the YouTube stream to. Sorry, I got a message. That's something disconnected. Sorry.
Oh, our live stream is offline.
Hmm. One moment. Well, you're still recording, right?
We're still recording. We're good.
Yeah. So I changed the title to spoilers for Endgame, beware, because I didn't want somebody stumbling in here.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And just like, oh, great, my ears are burning, you know.
Although the movie has been out for 2 weeks
yeah,
now. Yeah. Do we still need to say spoilers?
Well, you know what? You have to be fair to our audience. And
it's a courtesy.
It's a courtesy, and if you look at like any of the people in the stay-at-home dads group that Wes is part of, it's really hard for some people to get out to the movies for whatever reason. If it wasn't for being out of town last weekend without my kids, I still probably wouldn't have seen it. So I got...
Tiff still hasn't seen it. She wants to watch it.
Yeah. So I got lucky as far as that goes. And my kids haven't seen it. And Mark, my kids probably won't see it until it comes out on video, because I won't take them to the theater to see it.
I do have to say one thing about Endgame. I saw it in IMAX 3D. And there's something about watching a movie in 3D that makes everything seemed not so larger than life.
Hmm.
Because, you know, when you're watching a 2D film, you know, with all of the cinematic work and everything, you know, everybody looks just huge, and like Captain America looks insanely buff, and, you know, everybody's super tall. And then you watch it in 3D and you're like, wow, they're really short. Like, when you see the depth between, you know, their surroundings and each other, and you're just like, wow, this gives a lot more dimension, I mean, pun intended, to movies. I mean, I think it's really cool.
But there's a problem with that case, though, is that it was not filmed with the intention of 3D. It was post-processed.
It was filmed entirely in IMAX, though. So if you got an IMAX anywhere around you, like this, and I think Infinity War were the only two movies that were filmed like entirely in IMAX.
Ever.
Yeah. That would be cool to see.
And it's like, I'm not a film buff. I'm a film snob. I'm a sucker for stuff like that. And like, that's one of the things that I loved about Rogue One is you know, it was filmed in 70 millimeter, which is unheard of in Star Wars. And I was just like, this is fantastic. So if it's good enough, I always want to. I would do IMAX over anything else, just because of the experience of getting more of the movie than you would, you know, anywhere else.
Yeah, the bigger frame.
Rogue One was the last movie I saw in 3D. And I think I'd be okay. Like, I don't know. Watching Rogue One in 3D, like, there were a few parts where it's like, ooh, a Star Destroyer. Like, oh, boy. But I think the novelty for me of 3D movies has worn off.
Yeah.
Like, it makes the rest of the film that's not in 3D or meant to be impactful in that dimension, it makes the rest of it kind of blurry and dimmed because of the coating on the tint and the glasses.
So I agree with the sharpness is a little bit off for me.
Yeah, it takes away from the rest of the film to highlight those key moments that are meant to be 3D-ified.
Yeah. I'm glad that, you know, a lot of movies that are 3D have gotten away with, you know, intentionally doing things just to highlight the 3D. And then you get the movie and you bring it home and all of those mean nothing when you're doing, when you're watching it in 2D. You're like, oh, this is so cheesy. But
yes, I think I'm officially done with 3D movies in the theater. Like, I'm almost turned off by them now.
Okay. I can understand that, especially at, you know, the price.
So how do you want to start this off? Just like we've done before, general, did we like it? Or do you want to take a different approach because
it's different? I'm confused if we all liked it or not. I think this is, I think that's a good place to start.
And silence.
I liked it for what it was. It's really hard to kind of judge it as a standalone cinematic experience because it's, you know, it's the second part in a sense of an ongoing story, but it's also the culmination of a, you know, 22 part lead up, in a lot of ways. I like it for what it was. I mean, I generally like the film, but it's not without its faults too.
That's good. We can talk about those faults.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, I mean, I talked about this with Bob on No Instructions, but I don't think I got into anything I didn't like about the movie. And there were some things I didn't like. So it's good that you have reservations on some parts also.
Yep. It'll be explained.
So yeah. I saw the Monday after opening weekend. I don't know if it's still considered opening weekend if it's on Monday. No. Okay. So I saw it on Monday. And I was surprised that I pretty much had the IMAX to myself because I figured it was still going to be packed. It wasn't. So I'm glad it wasn't packed because I stood up in the middle of the movie and I was like, I knew it. I knew it.
I'm glad I wasn't in the theater with you.
I made a lot of comments to the screen like, oh, come on. Or, yeah, that seems about right. So I had a very vocal experience watching the movie, but I liked it. It made up for all of the bad taste in my mouth that I got with Infinity War. So it was a good chaser for Infinity War, and I have to say I enjoyed it. There are so many things that I'm like, I can't overthink this because then I'll hate it. But that aside, it was enjoyable. I did enjoy it.
It's funny because a lot of times the overthinking of things makes me enjoy it more.
Really?
Depends on the movie. But I like to like spiral into the geekification where like the logic of the universe starts kind of fraying. And you're like, oh, man. Well, what about this? Then this? And then it just, it's kind of fun to theorize about stuff like that for me. But I know it's not always the case, but
that's true. I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to be like Star Wars fanboys because no one hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans. I didn't want to be one of those where I'm like, yeah, well, if this happened, then that means this and this and this. And it just, there's so many theoreticals that can come out of watching a movie like Endgame. But putting all of that aside, it was very enjoyable. One scene in particular, but the rest of it was still pretty enjoyable.
I enjoyed it. I liked it. I loved it. That was awesome. It was in the top rankings, I would say. I mean, I get where, you know, it's hard to rank it in some ways because it feels like unfinished because it's like the second part, but no more so than like Empire Strikes Back, you know, or something like that to me. It started with a cliffhanger, ended with a cliffhanger. It's even worse in some ways. But, yeah, it had a nice arc for several characters. If I sat down and thought about too many of them beforehand, I'm sure I could have figured half of them out. But I'm glad that I didn't do that, because I was happy for going on the ride and not overthinking it or, like, reading into stuff beforehand. Because a lot of those story threads, like, oh, of course he's going to end up with Peggy, because that's sort of where they were leading. You know, every movie he's in,
Chekhov's gun.
He checks his little, you know, compass with her picture in it. So obviously, you know, then I've been playing a lot of this Marvel card game with one of my buddies locally. And there's a whole pack of Captain America, like, alternate Captain Americas. They have, like, Falcons in there as, like, a variant of it, and Winter Soldier, and there's a Man Out of Time one where he's, like, an old Cap. And so if I thought about that too much, I could have taken some of that information and put it towards the movie and, like, oh, I wonder if they're going to have old Cap, and then I would not have been as surprised as I was. So,
there were a lot of Easter eggs.
There were, yeah.
In this, I'll say, movie.
Satisfying is my one word.
Yeah.
If you were to say one word, how about you guys? We tack that onto your reviews. Like, if you say one word to sum it up, satisfying would be mine.
Yeah. Mine would be, satiated. Like, it scratched that itch. Like, I really loved it. Because it was completion. Like, I really liked it for the same reasons I think that Donovan talked about not liking Infinity War or the Marvel kind of, like, spin on things. Like, oh, they're gone, but they're not really gone. Like, I don't know what's to come. I'm not thinking about what's to come. I like that they didn't do any end credits to kind of lead about, ooh, where we're going next. Like, that was the period at the end of that sentence. And I think, like all good TV shows coming to an end, they went back and visited all your old friends and all the old cast members and all the old fun moments and the throwbacks that made you think about the last 10 years of movies. I think it wrapped everything up in a perfect little tear-soaked bow. And yeah, it did leave a little upswing kind of hope at the end. Like, oh, there's going to be something different. Falcon's going to get the shield. Hawkeye's daughter can shoot a bow. Like, sure. There's tons of stuff to speculate about. But I love that they put a period at the end of that. And it felt good to have that, at least for this stage. Like, I know that it would be very immature as a MCU fan to go like, yes, they're done, because they're never going to be done. But in my mind, like, they're done. That was good. Thank you.
So as you asked, like, a single word, I think I would say respectful. I think the characters that met the end of their arc, I think that they were handled in a very respectful way. I thought that each character kind of finished the way that they should, for the most part. So I don't have any issues with that. It could have gone a lot of different ways. And I was listening to the No Instructions podcast a little bit today, and I kept thinking that, As I was watching this, it's almost like the Doctor Strange metaphor, you know, like in Infinity War, he says that, you know, these different million options, but only one they win. Well, I think that's the same way you could look at this entire scenario, where there's a lot of different ways they could have played this out. But this is the one that they chose, and I think that it wrapped everything up really nicely. And unlike, like, all my complaints about The Last Jedi, I had to kind of make myself stop thinking about what I wanted to happen and just kind of accept with the choices they made and enjoy that.
Yeah, I agree with that, with the time travel thing.
I mean, like, I'm not entirely happy with the time travel thing, but I thought they handled it well. And I thought they covered the bases for a lot of things I would have actually asked. And they fixed a lot of it simply with, okay, Back to the Future's crap.
Terminator.
Yeah.
And because that's given everybody this one, you know, this perception of time travel, which doesn't exist.
They made fun of themselves before anybody else could make fun of themselves for it.
Yeah, I like how they owned it by just discounting everybody else who's ever done a time travel movie.
Well, no, actually, I think it was something different. They rewrote the rules to let everybody know this is the rule of time travel in this movie.
I think it's a really healthy
conversation.
It's like
Dragon Ball rules, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
From what I read, they're time travel works the same way. It's like a tree, and then there's branches off the tree that are kind of independent entities. But from what I've heard and read.
Okay, so multiverse, right? As far as the time travel.
You're jumping far ahead now.
It's not... What were you talking about multiverse. Time travel. No. Not like you were talking about branches. That is the method of time travel that they... It was not one
linear.
It wasn't a linear time travel. It was right.
Well, it's linear backwards.
See, if you think about it too much, I have issues with that. We don't have to
get into it. No, this is the podcast.
It's a spoiler cast. What are you talking about?
I know. Okay, if it's linear, Nebula shoots the past version of herself and kills herself, but doesn't die. So it's not linear. It's the split universe.
My understanding was anytime anything changes, let's say they go back to a certain point.
Your past self becomes your future self, and it all balances.
No, anytime they go back in time, anything that they change is going to impact a historical event. At that point, it branches off. So as soon as Thanos realized something was up with Nebula, it's like a different offshoot. So whatever happens after that point to him and relative to him is independent of the Thanos that we know. That's how I interpret it.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
And that can be applied to every situation.
Then they can bring Tony back and they can bring Black Widow back. Because they brought Gamora back.
Well, they...
See, you
they
can't think about it too much. Otherwise, it could ruin it.
Past version of Gamora forward. Right. They didn't bring her back. They brought her forward.
And they could do the same with Tony.
But that's a different idea.
She's still alive, though. That's the one thing that I caught the second time I watched it. At the end, when Quill was trying to find her, because Tony, presumably, like, when he snapped, is like, get rid of all the bad guys, she was technically still on Thanos' team. And so at the end, when Quill is trying to find her and just says, searching, and then he, like, swipes it away, you don't know if she survived that snap. So the one linear version of Gamora is still stuck in the Soul Stone. The past version of Gamora got sent forward, where she presumably, ambiguously, could have been snapped away.
Mm-hmm.
Which they may or may not talk about in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But true. Okay, so are we sticking on time travel? Because I think this could be a whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to respond because I'm going to sound like a moron because I barely have an understanding. I had to go back and try to, like... All right, Banner, like, say that slower so I can understand. There's a lot of graphics that people have made up of, like, varying colors, like, when they take the stones. It makes a lot more sense when you see it graphically than trying to understand it all, because I didn't understand. I thought the same thing. I'm like, all right, I'm still stuck in Back to the Future rules.
Right.
Or some Bill and Ted style stuff, which they made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that complex, but Donovan, your main complaint is, you know, if Thanos is able to go from like a past version of Thanos into the future, right, on that one timeline, why couldn't they bring Tony back the same way?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand why they didn't.
Well, no, I mean, I just don't think there's...
I'm just saying they have the machine. We have the technology. Like, they could. They could.
I mean, there's a lot of coulds, but you have to look at the story that's been established that there's not really a motivation to do so.
No, I know. And honestly, like I didn't try to overanalyze it too much. There was one moment. There was, in terms of like the whole time travel thing, there was one moment after Captain America has his whole back and forth with the Falcon and handing over the shield where I was like, okay. So if Captain America went back, that means he lived his, you know, he had the life that Tony said he should get, which means that he let everything that happened to Bucky still happen to Bucky. And he let everything that happened up until, you know, that point of him sitting on the bench happen without doing anything in his future
self. We don't know that.
Well, Bucky still had his arm. Like, that was
you never met the Bucky from that branch.
It was a different branch.
As soon as he goes back and he says, "Hey, Peggy, how you doing?" Like,
that creates a new branch in time. Then it happened,
boom. From that point on to Cap at that point, it's new. So he could go back and right all the wrongs that he did. He could have saved Bucky earlier.
But it's still the same Bucky that sees him on the bench at the end of the movie, at old man Steve Rogers.
No, it's not the same Bucky.
It's the OG Bucky that we've seen in Winter Soldier.
It's the one-armed Bucky. Like, it's...
Well, I'll throw that train of thought for a loop then, because watching it a second time, Bucky knew. Like, that's Bucky knew he was there. He stood there with his hands in his pockets, and he waved Falcon over there like, this is best friend from forever ago. He just, like, sees him over there on a bench, and he has this look. He's like, oh, yeah, I know who it is. He's not here for me. He's there for you. So I'm going to muddy the waters between both of those conversations and go, yeah, let's say he did go back in the past, and he's dancing with his woman, and his homeboy Bucky comes over, and he's like, yo, this stuff, you need to go to war because I don't need to change stuff. But I'll see you in the future, wink, wink. And then Bucky goes off and falls out of some train or something like he did in Captain America. But that part I didn't understand. But
he, again, did.
Using the graphic, I kind of got it. But
he didn't go – do we know what year he went back to when we see the scene of him dancing with Peggy? Do we know roughly what year that was?
Well, he had to go replace the Tesseract.
Yeah, I understand that.
Was in the 70s, so he had to at least go back to right there.
Right, so...
But he could have jumped back further.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know. Yeah.
But my whole point is that if he didn't go back any further, all that other stuff with Bucky would have already happened. In the main timeline.
In his offshoot, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, when he was dancing with Peggy, that creates the new one, and then he jumps back over... probably with the quantum particles or the PIM particles or whatever. I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, see, that's another thing. Of talking about the necessity of needing the PIM particles in order to time travel. But Thanos and his giant ship and his army,
they didn't said that have they PIM reverse particles. Engineered PIM particles.
No, he had some. No. They had them.
Yep.
Watch it a second time. He had the PIM particles.
Yes, he did.
He had like one that Nebula gave them, which Nebula would have had to use to get back to the future, Nebula would have had to use to get back to the future.
Right.
And but she still got back to the future.
Bad girl passed Nebula, took that one and went back to the future. And then somehow warped the ship into the now. Yeah, I don't know how she did it.
I watched interview and the Russo brothers, the director said that Thanos and the dude that's telekinetic Maul?
Obsidian Maul.
Yeah, they said that basically they would easily be able to reproduce the technology of PEM particles. So basically, they could have reverse engineered the one that they had to give it to everybody, basically, to allow everybody to do it.
But I think to keep pushing us forward, that yes, there were some things that I had to go like, okay, I'm going to accept this. And then once...
You can't think about it too
much. Like you really once think I Fortnite's going to be popular in 5 years? Like, come on. Yeah.
I sat back in my chair and then I went, okay, I believed that there's a giant rock man with a New Zealand accent who fights in a trash planet.
New Master 69, sure,
There's no sci-fi movie that doesn't require some sort of suspension of disbelief. So,
and that's the thing that when it's strictly in a sci-fi category, like we're in space and we're on another planet and hurry for that, like that's easier somehow for me to suspend that belief. And then it's like, oh, you guys are trying to use science, and you're going, no, it's totally impossible. And then you have a popsicle, and you're like, oh, that's how you do it. Like, bang, 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 time travel.
My qualms had a talking raccoon. Aren't like that I don't suspend my disbelief for the sake of enjoying the movie. My qualms with this movie or any movie is where they're like, okay, here are the rules. And then they break the rules. It's like, why did you establish the rules if you're going to break the... But pushing us forward, what did you like best about Endgame?
I liked how I was able to relate to many different facets of that movie when I wasn't expecting to. It's a dumb superhero movie. Got it. I think the acting in this movie was way better all around for all the characters than any of the other movies before. I think they all did a really great job. I think the scenes with Tony and his daughter, with Thor and his mom, like that was one of the times I cried during this movie with Thor and his mom, because that hit me where I stood. The moments where people, where they all had the ability to go back in time and be selfish and to like fix things that they wanted to fix in their messed up past, but they pushed that stuff aside for their like primary goal and for the greater good. But I mean, all along the way in so many different areas, I was able to project my own feelings and my own past on these things that were in no way related, but still felt very real and personal. And I thought that that was crazy. And I hadn't had that kind of reaction to a movie in a very long time. So I can suspend belief when they talk about Back to the Future kind of stuff. Cause I'm like, you know, whatever, make your helmet just like swoosh up onto your head whenever you want to. That kind of bugs me. How nobody's hair gets caught in the swoosh. But I'll suspend that stuff, because those impactful personal moments were like so overwhelming to me that I stopped caring very quickly about all the silly stuff that I couldn't.
They did hit the emotional aspects of this movie very, very hard. Like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 hard.
See, I thought Guardians 2, I thought that that was dumb. I thought the emotional points that they tried to make in that movie missed for me, because they were campy and cartoony and silly.
They would throw a joke in right after something serious and it takes all the gravitas away instantly.
Chris Pratt is good because he's the everyman.
Yeah.
But he was not a good actor in that movie, and I didn't believe him. He had maybe like 5 words in this movie, and he was being the silly everyman like he should have been, and I thought that that was kind of perfect. But everybody else, like, I liked Thor way more than I ever did. Like, I liked him in Ragnarok. And even as big, giant, fat Thor, someone I could finally relate to in a movie, I thought that, yeah, that they kept him fat the whole movie. I'm like, that's an interesting and fun choice for them.
Yep.
But even with him, like, looking as miserable and disgusting as they wanted him to look on screen, his emotional role and the consistency with what I feel someone in that situation would have probably felt spot on to me.
Yeah, he felt responsible for everything.
Yeah, and that's hugely... like that can weigh on someone's soul, especially the God of Thunder. Like, and the only person he just needed to talk to his mom. Like, that's crazy. I don't know. So that's what I took away from it.
So those of you that actually had an audience when you watched it, was there cheering when Cap caught the hammer?
Oh yeah,
there was a.
Picked up the hammer.
No.
It was a deafening cheer in my theater.
It flew to him. Because it flew past Thor. He was expecting to catch it, and it went past him, and Cap caught it. All triumphantly and heroically.
Wait a minute. Stance. No, the scene with the hammer, like it's on the route, and then the
hand levitated up first. It levitated up first.
No, he picked it up. It didn't levitate. He, like, Captain lifted it.
I thought it was flying around and hitting him, and then it swung back, and it goes off screen, and he, like, catches it like a fastball.
Yeah.
So he didn't pick it up. It, like, came to him because it was flying around.
Wait a minute.
Thanos was getting beat up by somebody with the powers of the hammer, and then the hammer flies out of.
Because you see Thor, like, expecting to catch it.
I'm going to trust the guy that saw it twice.
In the rock, and a hand comes down and picks up the hammer, and you don't know who it is, and then it flies back and... Right? Am I remembering this right?
That's not how I remember it, but...
Okay.
Could be wrong.
Film is subjective.
Yeah, that was my favorite scene in the movie. Captain America.
It's hard not to have that as a favorite.
I actually forgot about that moment until it happened. I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of either hoping for it or expecting it, and I had completely forgotten about that idea of somebody else, you know, wielding the hammer. Until it happened, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right.
Vision did it. I forgot all about Vision doing it.
Yeah,
in Ultron.
Yeah, that too.
He just picked it up like it was nothing, handed it right back to him.
Yep.
So, again, I watched a video where the Russo brothers were talking more about stuff and, like, more behind the scenes and, like, writing and everything. And they said that Cap, when he started to pick up the hammer, when he realized he could move it, he stopped. Because he didn't want Thor to be embarrassed and feel like that wasn't his thing anymore. And so, like, he was always worthy. Because there were some fan theories that went around saying, like, he wasn't really worthy until he got that secret of Tony's parents off his chest. But they said, no, like, that's a cool theory. But the way we wrote it, our intention was ever since, you know, Joss Ultron. Whedon had that movie in play, that the intention of that character was that he was always able to pick it up. He just let Thor have his thing, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that he was able to call down thunder.
That was one thing the second time.
So it wasn't like, just with no practicing practice. Mjolnir. Yeah. It's he's now a thunder god too?
Mjolnir has... Okay, if Thor is the god of thunder, then Mjolnir must be the agent of lightning. And so that's why he didn't call down thunder. He just used a lightning, that the lightning hammer.
Except in Ragnarok. It's like the Ragnarok. Thor's dad told him the hammer was just a tool. Like,
you're the god of hammers
the whole time.
Yeah, when I watched that the second time, I thought that too. I'm like,
are you the god of hammers? No.
It's just really stormy outside, and that hammer is very obviously metal.
I'm just gonna say it's better with the lightning than without.
That's true. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was cool.
Like that,
some pretty choreographed like combos with the shield and hammer.
Yeah, he did.
I was like, man, you've been practicing somewhere.
You know that thing defies the laws of physics, right? That's probably my favorite one quote that I do love from Civil War is Spider-Man talking to Cap. You know that thing defies the laws of physics, right? It's like, oh yeah.
What'd you think about Captain America fighting Captain America?
It was awesome. It's like, whatever, dude. I can do this all day. Yeah, whatever.
I know. No, there was, like, that was one of the things, like Captain America fighting Captain America doing the Hell Hydra thing in the elevator. Like, there's all these things from the comic, from different comic book lines that they put in this movie that I'm like, hey, intertextuality. I picked up on that. I got that one.
So I just watched a bootleg version of that scene, and the hammer hovers off the ground, hits Thanos a couple times, then swings back by Thor and Thanos, and Cap catches it.
So he doesn't pick it up.
No.
Yeah, I remember him catching it like fastball style.
So, so the way they shot it makes it seem like somebody picked it up, because the way it hovers up, the end of the handle is off screen, so it seems like somebody picked it up, but it's not what actually happened.
I saw it in IMAX. And I could have swore that there was a maybe it's in that extra, 10% of film that everybody else didn't see.
That'd be interesting if that's actually the case.
That would be.
It was actually Howard the Duck's hand that picked it up.
Right.
That's
the blade came in.
Deleted scenes. You know, there was two scenes specifically in the film that I thought were kind of bad. And this is me being kind of nitpicky. But at the end of the movie, during the funeral scene, everybody's in their tuxes, and the camera goes through and it pans to like all these different gatherings and groups of people. It felt like they were, Wes, you'll probably know what I mean by this. It felt like they were, on cards. It didn't, it feels like they were all shot separately, and it was composited in a very awkward manner at the end, the way it was flying through. But you know, like in a 3D animation where you have like the particle cards.
It felt like that.
It felt like that.
Yeah, they're all camera facing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just felt really weird. It just almost.
I was happy to see the boy from Iron Man 3, though. That was cool.
I had to look it up. I did not know who it was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had read that before that he had survived and he made it into the movie, and it was also one of those things like, ooh, maybe he's gonna be a whatever, and I think out of everybody else in the entire planet. I was like, oh, yeah, get that one kid that only Tony kind of knew about and sent robots to that one time in that shed in that one place. Let's get him here.
I was trying to think, I mean, was that enough to really get make an appearance, or was there another reason behind it, too? I mean, I know there was an impact made, but...
Go either way.
Yeah.
It's ambiguity.
and Cassie, you know, she's going to pick up the Ant-Man gauntlet at some point, you know, setting up the Young Avengers.
And aside from the time travel, my only other complaint about the film, and this kind of goes back to, you know, what I thought should have happened based on some early rumors of what I thought it would explore more, was the quantum realm. Where, you know, the quantum realm I know was a conduit for the time travel, but with everything that was set up in, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp, I thought that that was going to be explored a little bit more, or there would have been more visuals that kind of, to kind of indicate what was really going on other than these weird tubes that these guys, you know, flew down. You know, it almost might as well have been, what was that movie where the people, you know, shrink down and go into, like, people's bloodstreams and stuff?
Inner Space?
No, not that one. No, the older one, the really old one. Like from the 60s or 70s. It wasn't Journey to the Center of the Earth. It was... there's
Magic School Bus.
No.
The Magic School Bus.
there's an old movie where they do something like that. And the way they're flying down the tubes almost kind of reminded me of like being inside the human body of, you know, swimming somewhere. So
I'm kind of glad they didn't do that. Because I thought the quantum realm stuff... again, this was my... I will suspend my scientific whatever.
Well, no, I mean, I know like, that too.
I'm glad they kept that out. Like, dump all of that over there where you say quantum 1,000 times and just make me try to believe you. And it's just irritating how many times they're just making up cotton candy fuzzy nonsense. And take a fiber of that cotton candy fuzzy nonsense and put it in this movie and then move on with it. So I'm personally glad they didn't do that because I would have went, oh my God, I don't want to hear quantum again.
Can you guys believe that the final line that Tony says, you know, where Thanos says, I'm inevitable, and he says, I'm Iron Man? Do you believe that was a reshoot? They didn't actually have that written in initially?
Yep.
They filmed that in January.
I love it, though.
They said the editor suggested that. Because they were like, it doesn't really have that. It doesn't have that feeling. What are we missing? And he's like, have him say this. And they're like, that's it. Brilliant. And they like shot it that day or something.
It's like it started and ended with that that sentence, and I love it.
See, I heard that they did so many additional shoots of like killing off other people and different characters to try to keep it vague so that no one knew the ending. And I wonder if we're ever going to get to see any of that. Because I think the storyboarding and the writing and the collaborative effort to maintain everybody through the entire 10 years and then to culminate in this movie was amazing. And the sleight of hand and the trickery they had to do in the cast to try to keep it all a secret, like that is really, really intriguing. And so far, even in the Blu-ray, none of these movies have behind the scenes things. And it really bothers me.
They do, just nothing that we would, that I think we're really hoping for. And I don't think we'd actually see these scenes. I don't think they want to open up the door of, wait, you know what? I think that would have been better. Type of response.
So, that being said, Thor Ragnarok has a, like an hour's worth of deleted scenes and stuff like that, where if you watch him, Hela actually kills Odin rather than Odin dissolving off into thing. Because there's this whole storyline of Thor deciding whether or not to kill his sister because she killed Odin, and Hulk trying to talk him out of killing his sister, and it's kind of interesting. I hope they do.
Was anybody else disappointed with Hulk?
Yeah, a little bit.
Professor Hulk, yeah.
I felt cheated.
I liked Professor Hulk until they went back to New York and he's all like,
I felt so cheated.
He like tosses over a motorcycle, whatever. I'm like, oh, come on.
See, but that didn't answer the struggle they had in Infinity War, which I worried about. Or not even worried. Like, I wondered why that was. I thought it was way deeper than that. And that was something that just got ironed over.
Yeah, it just got... Yeah, it did. Well, see, one of my predictions was that Black Widow was going to die, and that was going to be the catalyst for Hulk coming back, because it would finally give Hulk a reason to fight again. Whereas in the like you said, in the end of Infinity War, he's like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Nope. So that was my prediction. It didn't happen, obviously.
So many people were hoping he would like bust out of the armor too, like when
Infinity War.
Oh, in Infinity
that War. Or this one, you know, because he gets back in armor, doesn't he? When they go see Thanos. Don't know. No, I'm misremembering that. Sorry,
I don't think so.
That was everybody was expecting him to burst out of the Hulkbuster armor as Hulk.
That was
like an iconic thing that one of the happened.
Yeah, one of the biggest misdirections of Infinity War was the ad campaign where you see the Hulk running behind everybody at in Wakanda.
Yeah.
And I was so upset that I didn't get to see that. It's like the real Hulk didn't make an appearance in Infinity War or Endgame as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and I think with that, they made a compelling story arc that, like, Hulk can make his own decisions, and he's deciding not to. Like, what? Why? Ooh, that's interesting. And then we come in and like, oh,
that's great, but I want some more fan service.
I guess it just didn't answer that question.
He's getting his own movie, so. Yeah.
I didn't think that was definite yet because
of his own movie.
Isn't he? Didn't they announce the Phase 4 and Phase 4 and he was getting.
No, because Universal still owns the rights. Hulk
or whatever?
What? Too many people talking at the same time.
That has, I don't think that's been actually verified yet, especially since Universal still owns the rights. That the Hulk can't have his own movie under Marvel.
Wait, did I? Because I saw this little Marvel breakdown of Phase 4 and all the movies coming out in 2020,
that's,
21,
that's
and 22.
Fan-made. Announced it. That's fan-made.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so cheated.
There's a bunch of those floating around.
Invincible Hulk or something like that. And I was like, oh, he's getting his own movie. Cool.
There's a bunch of those floating around.
I saw Yoshi was getting his own movie, and I thought that was kind of crazy, but, you know, whatever. I don't know any better.
It's called Godzilla.
There's something else I was going to bring up. I can't remember what it was right now. I know we're almost running long.
Well, now that we can mix in Spider-Man's trailer, because it's sort of related.
Yeah,
to
so it. I guess that and then, you know, quick comment about the future, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys watched the trailer?
I do have one more thing to say about Endgame.
All right.
Kind of piggybacking off of Josh and Bob's podcast a few weeks ago talking about being sad. I do really like how Thor, even though like he was suffering from PTSD and he was depressed, he was still worthy. I thought that was really cool. Mm. I saw this little blip on, it was probably on Facebook or something, and it was Thor, and it said, your depression doesn't make you not worthy, or your depression, you can be depressed. No, your depression doesn't make you unworthy, I think was a little caption. I'm like, that's fantastic, because I think a lot of people need to hear that.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was very poignant. Like, Iron Man had his whole thing in Iron Man 3 where he has, you know, the existential crisis, and the Thor goes through the thing too. And the scene with him reaching out is like,
please,
is it going to come? Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? And it happens. And you're like, that's cool. That's good writing right there.
Yeah. And I remember when Captain America, and he sees Peggy through the window, and apparently they are in that scene. She's talking about Captain Britain. The guy's name is Braxton or something else after that. But there's like a captain. There's Captain America and Captain Britain. And apparently they were talking about him inside that room. But at the end of the movie, like when they're like, all right, he has to go back and return the stone, and we're going to bring him back in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And he doesn't show up. My son is like, where'd he go? I'm like, he is with his woman. And he's like, what? I'm like, boy, you don't even know. And I'm like, man, this movie is like, if you had any kind of daddy issues, they had Tony and his dad. If you had mom issues, there was Thor and his mom. They had Captain America and his lady. And they had Tony and his kids. And I was like, they hit everybody.
How about a pet? I guess Rocket, right?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, man, if John Wick would have walked in with like the corpse of his puppy.
Like Rocket and Nebula, when they held hands, I thought that was pretty sweet.
That was. That was a good moment. I liked Rocket's line, which I think was so good. Like when dealing with Tony Stark and Bruce Banner and all the mines, he's like, yo, you're smart by Earth standards. Like, calm down.
Better check yourself.
So back to Spider-Man really quick. I really kind of like how they had like a baseline trailer and then another trailer that came out with a spoiler warning that directly talks about, you know, the ramifications of Endgame and the future of what's going to happen. Any thoughts, predictions for the future? What things maybe you guys would like to see?
Do you think that's how, with the multiverse, do you think that's how they're opening up to possibly explain how X-Men would fit in, like down like years from now? Is that the door they're going to come in through? Or they're just opening it up for like Spider-Verse stuff?
I want to see Ben Reilly. I want to see Scarlet Spider and the clones pop through. Like, I know that's not going to happen because the comic books, like, pretty much spelled out that that would ruin all of comic existence by going down the clone route. But I thought it was cool. I like how they're acknowledging, like, look, Iron Man is gone. Someone else needs to fulfill that role. Like, are you going to step up to do this or not? And I think that that's pretty cool.
I heard a rumor a long time ago that Spider-Man was going to be the one that would be leading the next couple phases.
That's if Disney buys Sony.
Yeah, I think their little agreement doesn't last much longer.
Yeah, I thought they only had him for 3 movies or something.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something else in the works. Sony has to be making just as much off of their licensing agreement than they would if they made a movie on their own. Because even Venom kind of proved that, you know, it might have had a little bit of financial success, but the fans overall just didn't care for it.
Worldwide, it had a lot of financial success. Domestically, the response may have been, eh. But worldwide, man, that movie did good.
I don't know.
But yeah. I brought this up, you know, last time when we were talking about it. I don't know where they're going to go from here. I mean, everybody's talking about Galactus and that whole storyline, but I'm just like, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what their projections are, because I think Thanos was the peak, and now we're just going to ride down the hill the rest of the way.
I mean, other than the standalone movies they have coming out, we know that there's a Doctor Strange 2, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, possibly a Black Widow. I'll go see them all, but I don't feel like I'm going to be as invested the same way. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not that same string, which they probably won't even establish it right away to kind of pull me along. What movie was it? I think it was Captain America when the Tesseract was first introduced, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did we first see Thanos? I don't remember. What movie was it?
The end of the first Avengers
Thanos
movie.
Was at the end of Age of Ultron.
It was in.
I think it's kind of implied because Deacon's upstairs watching Avengers right now. I think it's implied that Thanos gave the staff to Loki, and then he talks to the guy with just the mouth and no eyes about controlling the army to go attack whenever he's ready.
Because his first little cameo is when, who was talking? He turns
around in the chair.
He turns around and he smiles.
I think that was in a post-credit scene on something.
Because I know Age of Ultron is when he grabs the gauntlet and he's like, I'll do it myself. Yeah,
it was before that, for sure. So my point in bringing that up is that we may not even have to have that larger arching story established right away. We might be able to lead into it just like we did in the first several movies.
So for the moment, we're just going to eat shawarma. Is that what you're talking about?
Sure. Build up that momentum, get the audiences to care again about something, and then bring them in. Worked last time. I don't know. It gives some breathing room for everything too. But anyways.
True. I don't know. It's exciting.
You guys got anything else? Wes, you doing all right?
Yeah, I was just verifying what I said. So he first appeared at the end of Avengers.
Post-credit scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which might be happening upstairs right about now.
All right, well, like, geeking out this week? Nothing for me.
I'm excited about Maker Faire.
Next week, we're all going to be together. Yep. We should talk about it.
Yep. A week from today, actually.
We should have that conversation.
We should.
Probably after we finish recording this.
What are we going to talk about, you guys?
Oh, yeah, we haven't really discussed that at all.
Nope. We have a title for the talk, but that's...
We're going to talk about props. So if you're interested to hear what we say...
Come to
Maker Faire.
Aside from Maker Faire, I'm actually geeking out about Detective Pikachu and all of the cool snippets that they keep releasing. I'm excited for that movie. And the theme for the Art of Geek Challenge this month is Pokemon. So it kind of fits because I'm trying to come up with a good Pokemon project. So I'm getting inspired by all the little, you know, Detective Pikachu snippets that keep coming out.
I'm so old. If it wasn't for Ryan, I mean, I barely want to see it, like, at all. If Ryan Reynolds wasn't in it, I would have no interest, less than no interest. I was sort of too old when that came out to really care. Similar to Power Rangers.
I have no interest.
That's a movie where, like, I'll take Deacon to go watch it, but I'm just going to get comfy in that chair and just let the nap pour over me.
You just close your eyes and think that, you know, Deadpool's talking.
I could do that.
Wonder what we're going to get to watch on the plane. I wonder what movies are on planes right now. It's usually where I get to catch up on the stuff that I haven't seen, that everybody rags on me for not seeing things. I was on an airplane traveling across the country. That's where I saw Deadpool.
I still haven't seen the second one.
On an airplane?
That would be awkward. Yeah.
It was Deadpool 1 and 2 that I watched on planes coming back from New York.
That would be awkward. I haven't seen Deadpool 2. Deadpool 1. Oh, man.
I first started watching Blazing Saddles because I hadn't seen it, like, ever, and people are always talking about it. I'm like, oh, no.
That movie does not age well.
No, it does not. No. It was vulgar in so many ways.
Like, but that's the reason to watch it. It was vulgar back then.
Nope, that's a hard pass. There's so many racial slurs being spewed out, and, like, horrible, horrible racist jokes that don't stand the test of time, especially on a crowded airplane being watched by a white man. I'm like, nope.
Did you not have headphones?
I did, but still.
All right, so we'd love to hear from all of you. Check out the website, makingeeks.com, and contact page, questions, anything you'd like to hear from us, or things you'd like us to discuss on the show. And on the homepage of the site, you could listen to all of our past episodes right there on MakingGeeks.com.
Aside from all of us together on social media here at Making Geeks Podcast, we can be found individually. Sean can be found over at Geek Builders. Wes can be found at Geek Smithing. Josh can be found in two places, at the PI Workshop for his individual stuff, and for the stuff that he did with Bob at I Like to Make Stuff, which, if you haven't seen his secret room video, it is fantastic, and it is a lot of Josh talking at your face, which is great. We need more of that in our lives. Everybody needs a Josh. I'm just saying. Bob said it first, but I'll say it again. Everybody needs a Josh. So you can find him there, and then I can be found over at Once Upon a Workbench.
And we'd like to take this opportunity to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks for helping keep this show on the air with their financial contributions, including our top patron, C3D Prop Shop. Thank you, and all of our patrons for helping us out. We appreciate it.
And thank you to everybody in the live chat for hanging out with us tonight. If you want to be a part of this conversation, it happens on YouTube Live every Thursday around 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the U.S. of A. Or new episodes come out every Saturday to your podcast player of choice. Thanks for hanging out. We hope you enjoyed the movie. I hope that you got that we enjoyed the movie from this. And we hope to see you all at Maker Faire, Bay Area Maker Faire in San Mateo, California. It's the 17th through the 19th. Our talk is on Saturday at like 5:30, I believe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. On the DIY content creator stage.
Yep. It's where all of the people are going to be. It's going to be a busy, packed area, more so than I think it was last year. But come on out, hang out with us. Come listen to us talk. And maybe we'll go get some tacos afterward.
Tacos.
But from all of us to all of you, we hope you have a fantastic week.
See ya.
See ya.
Take care.
Endgame, 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 Russo Brothers, golf ball.